What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms, wherever you're getting your podcast from. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on X/Twitter at Sports Business. That's SPURTZBIZNESS. You can also email the show at sportsbusiness@gmail.com. That's SPURTZBIZNESS@gmail.com. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about these winners and losers of the NFL Week 7. We're also going to dabble into the NBA season as the new season is starting tomorrow. And then before we get up out of here, we're definitely going to talk about the dummy of the day. But first things first, I got a couple of things. First, I'd like to apologize. Last week, had a scheduling conflict. Had a homeboy of mine who was in town. My man Charles came into town. So usually when I record is when I ended up meeting with Charles. Had dinner with the homie, and it was just really, really good to see him. And, you know, sometimes things happen where things run a little bit over and you ain't got the time, but it was really, really good to see him. So my bad on that for not putting out a show last week, but we here this week better than ever, and, you know, we gonna make it do what it do. So my bad on that. I saw something. I was talking to the homie today, and a notification came across my phone, and I was like, huh, an off-duty pilot tried to hijack a plane, like, huh? So I'm reading the article, and it sounds like an off-duty pilot has been charged with 83 counts of attempted murder after he allegedly tried to crash a San Francisco-bound Alaska Airlines flight by shutting off the engines. Now, I don't know, and this is per the New York Post. Now, here's my thing. One, man, if you off-duty, like, why are you sitting in the cockpit? But then two, my thing is, okay, you tried shutting off the engines for what? You wasn't ready to leave? And then number two, if you did plan on hijacking the plane, here's the thing about plane hijacking. It's not too many good things that come out of hijacking the plane. Like, I've never heard anybody saying, I'm going to take a plane like I'm on Grand Theft Auto and I'm just going to be able to park it from stealing it from Alaska or Seattle and I'm just going to come fly into Miami-Dade County International Airport and I'm just going to park the airplane at gate C-17 and I'm just going to walk off like it's all good in the hood. Like, I don't know too many stories that really end well with people hijacking planes, but I thought that was a really, really interesting situation. But man, 83 counts of murder. Oof. He ain't getting out, y'all. And then number two, and this is the one that got me, that gets me every time, and I feel like I've talked about this too many times on my show. Y'all little fantasy football owners and these daily sports better people, y'all get on my last damn nerves, okay? Y'all are so quick to reach out to these athletes and say, oh, you costed me my $13, my lunch money. Oh, you costed me my Verizon phone bill that was $200 because I betted it all on you. Now, apparently, there's a story that Bijan Robinson, I guess, had a migraine headache and was not being used. And people were trying to make fun of the script writers and say that the NFL is scripted and the coach Arthur Smith must have been playing Bijan Robinson and blah, 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 to the point where you just saw everything on social media talking about how everyone had Bijan Robinson and they started like, here's my thing about this. First of all, this is what happens why we can't have nice things in the world. You can't open up the floodgates for betting, but then when you're watching a DraftKings commercial, you got a 1-800 number line about Gamblers Anonymous thinking that's all good in the hood. It don't work out like that. Usually, if you got to put a substance abuse hotline on under the ad, that probably means it's not a good idea to be utilizing it. And not to mention, half of y'all be out here betting your lunch money, hoping that you be wishing on a $15 parlay, y'all make it big, and y'all ain't got to go back and clock in after your little lunch break, that's on you. But don't be getting mad. Y'all don't get mad when y'all come out here to Las Vegas and you go to the MGM Grand and you lose it all by betting it on black. Y'all don't be sitting there trying to strong arm the doggone dude that be the guy with the craps little stick. Y'all don't be sitting there getting mad at the person that be calling out numbers at the keynote place. So don't get mad at players when they hurt, okay? Keep that same energy. That's all I'm saying. But y'all are just taking this whole having social media and things to a whole nother level where you feel like you got to go after these players. Hey, man, didn't nobody sit there and get mad at you when you called out sick today? Did they? Did somebody sit and threaten them with your life talking about, hey, man, I couldn't kind of work today. Well, we're going to have to kill you because you can't work. Y'all are taking this too far. And like I said, when Congress repealed, as Nevada being the only place of being sports betting, I knew that this was coming. The writings were on the wall, and here we are today. We are at the point of no return where, you know, things are probably going to get even uglier. So we shall see. But those are my two. That's my rant. Now, the NFL fan base is probably the only sport where everyone thinks that their team can win a chip. And so I was in the group chat the other day, and I think it was the Saints against the Jaguars. And I think the Jags were up. I don't know. The Jags were up by like 10 points or something like that. And I turned the game off. I was like, one, it's Thursday Night Football. They usually dog water. And two, you know, it's the Saints, man. They ain't coming back. And somebody hit me back. It was like, yo, the Saints coming back. And I was like, oh, they're probably not going to win. Whatever. They're both. I said something to the realm of both teams are trash. And somebody else replied back saying, oh, well, you just think that everyone else is trash when it's just, I think he said, the Eagles, Kansas City, Niners. And I said, yeah, pretty much, yeah, that's exactly right. Like I said, the NFL fan base, the NFL season, or the NFL teams, fans are low-key crazy. And it's, the fans is a short word for fanatic, and I get it. But y'all be out here really thinking that teams like the Minnesota Vikings really going to sit there and win the championship when they ain't changed nothing. Y'all really be sitting there thinking that the LA Chargers are going to win the championship. The NFL season is really set up for you to go 500. It's really not that, you know, it's no such thing as 500. Either win eight games or nine games. That's what the season's set up for, the way it's scheduled out to be. Now, it's based on you to figure out if you can make it happen or not. But I can't sit here and deny and say that I've been watching a lot of good football. Just haven't. I haven't seen too many really good football games. And that's why I will stand by saying that if you ain't really the 49ers, Eagles, and Kansas City right now, they're about the only real teams in the NFL. Everybody else is just cool. You know, maybe. They got a whole bunch of maybes. But if I'm looking at the 49ers, yeah, they got injuries. Yeah, they're about to play Minnesota tonight, which even with the injuries, they should be able to win just because Kirk Cousins does not play well on primetime TV and Brock Purdy is 3-0 on primetime TV. So that's what I'm going off. And plus, it's the Vikings. Again, another team that just ain't done anything recently. Now, I say that to say that, you know, it's cool. Like, y'all can't sit here and really think that y'all teams is really going to be doing a whole bunch of noise. It's just that, I mean, sorry to break it to you. Sorry. I'm just more of a realistic person. Y'all can sit there and be wishing on Santa Claus and Easter Bunny and all you want. I just like to keep things a buck. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Now, that being said, I got some winners to go out. Week 7 winners. Hot Rod Tyrod Taylor. Definitely got to give him one of my Week 7 game balls because my man is probably going to save Uncle Fester, a.k.a. Brian Daboll's job. The New York Giants were arguably the worst team in football all the way up until last week. And essentially, there's no such thing as moral victories in football, but the Giants actually won that game against the Buffalo Bills last Sunday night. But Tyrod Taylor has somehow been able to figure out, one, it looks good that Saquon Barkley's back, and then two, I don't know if the offensive line just had a union meeting amongst themselves and said, oh, F it, we not gonna block for Daniel Jones, and we're going to try a little bit harder for Tyrod Taylor. But that offensive line looks a lot different than what it has looked all the way up until last week. They're blocking better. Tyrod Taylor's been able to find Darren Waller, who finally caught his first touchdown after, what, 7 games. So that's a good sign. The defense, like I said, I don't know if I've said it on the show, but I've said it multiple occasions off the record. The New York Giants defense has probably been their only saving grace of this disastrous season that they had. Their defense hasn't been that bad. And if you have anything that you can hang your head up off of, it's the fact that the defense has been cool. The defense has not looked as bad as the offense, and the defense has actually kept them in a lot of games all the way up until, you know, the defense can only do so much but score the ball. And if you're trying to keep your opponents down, but so many points, and every time Daniel Jones goes out there and tricks the ball off and it just has three and outs, they're going to get tired. So I would say Tyrod Taylor, I don't know if you're going to be able to say justify starting him over an $80 million investment in Daniel Jones, But if Daniel Jones does come back and he starts lousing up the place again, you definitely got to give that side an emoji and think about, what are we doing here? But Tyrod Taylor has probably turned the Giants season around where it wasn't looking as bleak as it was 2 weeks ago. So shout out to him. He's been a professional's professional, and he's made things happen. Second game set of game balls. No, game ball is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers are my another week 7 winners. For them to be able to go to L.A., which it was pretty much a home game. I don't know if y'all saw that game, but it was a whole bunch of black and yellow up in SoFi Stadium. But the Steelers, for another quarterback who I have not been sold on, Kenny Pickett, for them to be able to go to L.A., and L.A. has been a lot better than what we all thought they were, and for them to go in and have a come-from-behind game victory shows a lot about that team. So Pittsburgh, they made things happen. I don't know what that entails in them, but it also kind of gives me a little bit of reaffirmation that that win against the Cleveland Browns on Monday night wasn't that fluky. Mike Tomlin is, I think, 7-0 now coming off of a bye. So one thing Mike Tomlin's going to do is he's going to get them boys ready. So I think that I still don't believe in Kenny Pickett. I still don't believe in that Pittsburgh Steelers offense, but that defense has been, they've been solid. They've been cool. So, you know, they definitely get another crack, and they're, I think, second place in either in the AFC North or something like that. So they're cool, you know, but it's a good little week 7 hang your hat off, coming halfway across the country and making things happen. My next set is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles, for them to be on the national spotlight after they literally stunk up the joint the week before against the New York Jets, definitely gives me something to hang, you know, say that they're cool. Like I said, I felt like both the Niners and the Eagles were in somewhat of a trap game last week, so I didn't really think of their losses to be detrimental. Like, oh, it's time to hit the banning button. You know, you just got to hit the reset button. For their defense to be able to kind of handicap the Miami Dolphins the way they did. Granted, the Dolphins' offensive line was hurt. Jalen Waddle got a bad back, and you know, you still didn't have the other running back, Achi, I think is his name. You still, you know, you did the best you can with how to guard Tyreek Hill, which is almost impossible. But AJ Brown, I don't know what the hell the Tennessee Titans were thinking about just letting him walk for pretty much nothing. But AJ Brown is looking like probably the second best wide receiver behind Tyreek Hill. So the Philadelphia Eagles, they made things happen for sure. They definitely made things happen. So I'm really, really interested to see how they are able to, you know, build momentum up in this, upcoming weeks. But they got back on track, and that's what they're supposed to do. Now, my week 7 losers. It's no secret. Somebody had the audacity. Not really the audacity. Somebody came out to me and was like, oh, the Cowboys get so much love on national TV, blah, 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 blah. I'm tired of hearing about it. How come we can't see something about the Detroit Lions? Well, one, the Detroit Lions, I believe, have not won a championship that wasn't called the Super Bowl. And back then it was called the NFL Championship, which was like back in the 50s, if that. Well, that's number one. They haven't won a playoff game since, I believe, either 92 or 94. I don't know why those 2 years in particular are ringing a bell, but they haven't won a game. They haven't won a playoff game since before 1995. So that's almost 30 years ago. And here's another reason why I don't really believe in the Lions, I guess. I just turned 36. They have not won nothing ever in my lifetime. My dad is in his 60s. They ain't won nothing in two. So that means we're going on 2 generations of the Detroit Lions having a case of the lemon booty. And here's the reason why you can't put hype on a team like the Detroit Lions, a team that has never been there before. You can't just do that. And this is why. A prime example is yesterday. You can't go across the country, not even really across the country. You can't go to Baltimore and lose by, however, what was it, 38-7 or something like that, 38-7, 38-6, and just look as bad as you did. Jared Goff looked mediocre. He looked like the Jared Goff that lost the LA Rams the Super Bowl. I'd say that this loss is more about the Lions than it does about the Ravens, and that's why I didn't have the Ravens as my week 5 or week 7 winners, is because there's been people that have been like, oh, the Lions this, the Lions this. You can't give nice things to night people, because when you sit there and try to give the people they praise, they end up lousing up the field. Now, if they had lost by maybe, I don't know, a touchdown, a field goal, a one possession game, then yeah, you could say this is a trap game. This is a big deal. One, they only have Aiden Hutchinson, who's probably their best pass rusher. They don't have nobody on the other side. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is out for the year for them, so their DBs are hurting. You've had David Montgomery, who's been in and out of the lineup for their run game, so you've been trying to, you know, lean on Jahmyr Gibbs, who's not an every-down running back. Amon St. Brown has been in and out of the lineup, so, and then James Williams, he's another dude that just can't get out. He can't keep his fingers off of DraftKings, so he's just not getting back into playing shape. So you got a whole lot of red flags with the Detroit Lions, but I'm going to tell y'all right now, I don't believe in the Lions. Like I said, I thought that they were my dark horse team earlier this season, but I didn't have them as like a Super Bowl contending team. I was like, yeah, they'll probably win the NFC North. They'll probably win a playoff game, but like I said, the end of the day is your team championship material or not? And the Detroit Lions is a or not. They not, they cool. They going to win one playoff game, maybe two. You know, barring if they don't, you know, if they don't get the number one overall seed, they're going to win one playoff game. Cool. They probably going to get waxed up against the Niners or the Eagles. Cool. But until I see the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game, I'm not believing in them. And neither y'all shouldn't either. They get, you know, what's the point of giving them a whole bunch of love and when all they're doing is out here just tricking it off? So the Detroit Lions, yeah, take a seat. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's whatever. It's cool. Now, my next set of losers are the LA Chargers. Now, the LA Chargers lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, but this is more on when are we going to start, and I hate to say this because I feel bad for the dude, but Justin Herbert hasn't looked good recently. And I want to blame a little bit on that on coaching, just because I have no faith in Brandon Staley. And how to, not even no faith, I just don't know how he still got a job. I don't know how he's had a job really since 2021. I just still, to this day, just it baffles me how this man still has a job. But it is what it is. But it's not like the Chargers don't have weapons. They got Keenan Allen. They got Josh Palmer. They still got the Everett tight end. They got Austin Eckler. They still got a pretty good defense with Derwin James, Khalil Mack, Nick Bosa. And they still out here just looking bad. Now, granted, the Kansas City Chiefs, for the first time, I think, in the Patrick Mahomes era, can say that they got a lights-out defense. They used, you know, years in the past, their defense has been cool. It's been mid. But they got a defense that's probably top 10, top 10, top 15. Top 10. Their defense has been very, very good. That Chris Jones effect, probably. I don't like to say how he played. They would have beat the Lions in week one, but it's starting to, they ain't lost since Chris Jones has been there. So there is that. But, you know, the Chargers, I don't know. You know, they just got that stank on them. Just one of them stank franchises where they probably ain't never going to win in our lifetime, and it is what it is. So I don't know what they can do, but for them to kind of get embarrassed against the Kansas City Chiefs the way they did, it's not a good look. And for them to have less wins than the Raiders at this point is also pretty embarrassing. So I got the LA Chargers as my next set of losers, just because I don't know how they're going to be able to fix their season, what they can do to salvage the season. But at the rate that they're going right now, it's not looking really, really good for them. My next set are the Buffalo Bills. Ooh, boy. Now, I'm very, very cocky. I told y'all week one that the Buffalo Bills ain't hitting like y'all think they hitting. Y'all got to start putting Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens in that same little basket where they're a good team, but are they a championship contending team? No. And I also said that the Buffalo Bills were going to take a step back this year, just because I didn't think that they had enough of a run game. And also, I don't know what's going on with Josh Allen just out here just throwing all these YOLO balls where he just out here just, all right, I'm going to throw it down the field and hopefully somebody down there that wears the same color jersey as me is going to be able to catch the ball. But the fact that they lost to the Patriots the way they did, where the Patriots, they were winning pretty soundly all the way up until late in the fourth quarter. I think the score was 20-10 going into the fourth quarter. And, so, you know, the Patriots were able to hang on. But it is time to start. Sean McDermott, I think, is the coach's name. Hey, man, if the Bills don't get to at least the AFC Championship game and probably the Super Bowl, that seat might be getting a little bit warm up there in Orchard Park, because the way this team has been built, they've put so much money into positions where you got Von Miller on the other side of 30 on that fat contract. You've had multiple issues that you haven't really been able to create a pipeline, whether it's your DBs, whether it's your offensive line, where that pipeline is running dry because you are so vested in the depth chart of number one, where you got all of your players, the starters. You kind of didn't really think about the back end, like you're filling out that roster. So you got a whole bunch of players who really ain't hitting like that. So the Bills, I don't know, you know, what their season's looking like, but I feel like they're always just, you know, they say the same thing. Oh, we got to play better. We got to do this. We got to do that. When it's just kind of just reality is, y'all probably kind of hit y'all potential and hit y'all's peak that one year against Patrick Mahomes, when everybody kept saying that divisional round against Patrick Mahomes and the boys was the greatest football game they ever saw, and that didn't have they gotten the ball back in that overtime game. Who knows? But I'm not. They ain't really done nothing ever since that game. So, you know, it is what it is. But my last set of losers has got to be my Las Vegas Raiders. Y'all got a minute? Because I might strike up a Newport Cadillac 100 cigarette right now, because I'm about to. I've never been as disappointed in the Raiders in all my years as a fan. And somebody told me last year, they was like, yo, the Raiders are going to be in the AFC Championship game. I said, ain't no way. Ain't no way the Raiders are. No. Where are you seeing this from? How are you seeing this with Josh McDaniels as a coach? That was a bad hire. Then you go get Devontae Adams, which I have said on record, the Raiders have been known to trick off great wide receivers. They had Randy Moss trick that off. Granted, Antonio Brown was losing his damn mind when he got to the Raiders, but that happened on the Raiders' watch. He did everything he could to get out of that deal and ended up leaving and won a Super Bowl that same year, come to think of it. Antonio Brown has a Super Bowl win with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after the Raiders let him go. It just dawned on me. Just thought about that. And now you got Devontae Adams, who is looking like he wants out. He comes to Vegas, wants to play with Derek Carr. It's his best friend. Cool, you know. You bring in Josh McDaniels, who ain't done nothing. And y'all gonna tell me that that's an AFC Championship team that's gonna represent the AFC? Okay. But Josh McDaniels, since he has become the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, let's see. He has lost to Jeff Saturday, who was working in the media world like me. And his highest level of coaching was a high school football team. Lost to Jeff Saturday, which I believe it was Jeff Saturday's only win as a head coach, if I'm not mistaken. Come to think of it, I think that was Jeff Saturday's only win as a head coach was against the Raiders. You bring in on a Thursday night game, Baker Mayfield. A Thursday night game, ladies and gentlemen, where they signed Baker Mayfield on Tuesday, and he was starting that 48 hours later, where he didn't even know players' names. He had to call them by their numbers because he didn't know who his teammates were by name. Lost that. And now here we are. We out here losing to the Chicago Bears, who drafted. Oh, no. This guy went undrafted. You know what that means? He was picked right after Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy was the last pick in the NFL draft. My man was an undrafted rookie. That means he's one less pick than Brock Purdy. I don't know this dude's name. Tyson Bajan. But they said that his daddy was a 20-some-time arm wrestling champion. If you look at the picture of Tyson Bajan, he actually looks like he's kin to Jason Williams. They're from West Virginia. I don't know what block he came from, but he definitely sounds like he's invited to the cookout. But now we can add another oak leaf cluster for all my veterans on Josh McDaniels' tenure here as the Las Vegas Raiders coach. Add another bullet point to the resume of just embarrassing things. Not only did the Chicago Bears beat the Raiders, they embarrassed the Raiders. It looked like the Raiders just didn't want to be out there. I'm looking at Marcus Peters out here just playing Ole tackling. I'm looking at the offensive line just came block worth a damn for Josh Jacobs. I'm seeing Devontae Adams just over. He out here dropping wide open passes. But the thing that got me was they were down, I believe, 21-3 in their red zone Actually, it was on the goal line. It was like a third and goal or fourth and goal. You're already down 21-3. You might as well try to go for gusto and try to get a touchdown. And Josh McDaniels kicks a field goal. Mark Davis needs to wake up. He is losing a grip in the city of Las Vegas as it is. Not that he necessarily even had one from the get-go, because he's outpriced. Allegiant Stadium has been outpriced 2-1 compared to the lead in to the next team. Their tickets are mad expensive, so the locals can't even afford it. The thing about Mark Davis is he has no liquid assets, so he's almost stuck with Josh McDaniels until the end of the contract, because, well, here's the thing. Owners got to have liquid assets, because when you sign players, you got to fork over the cash immediately. It ain't like a bill. It ain't like a payment plan where it's a 3-year deal for $100 million. You could just sit here and pay him $33 million per year. You got to have that $100 million up front, and you got to put it in the escrow. And the players, the money that goes in the escrow, that's how the money gets paid out. Mark Davis doesn't have liquid assets, so he can't put any money in the escrow, and that's why he's not been able to get top-tier front players. That's why he's not been able to keep a lot of players, because he ain't got the liquid assets. The $2 billion that he got supposedly when he moved out here, it ain't liquid assets. It's tied into bonds, insurance policies, and all this other good jazz where he ain't got the money. So while we as Raider fans hope that this nightmare will end soon, he probably ain't got enough money to pay more than one coach. I think he's still paying John. I think he finally just got off the hook for paying John Gruden the remaining of his 10-year, $100 million contract. But that's neither here or there. He ain't trying to keep two. He can't afford to keep two coaches on the books. So therefore, he's probably going to have to keep Josh McDaniels here for the long haul. But the fact that the Raiders have now lost all of these embarrassing games on Josh McDaniels' watch is just flat out embarrassing. Mark Davis, you will have to do something real quick. You better go hit up one of these casinos and do something to try to get some cash, because this fan base is getting very, very tired. They're getting very impatient. And you are on the verge of losing one of the most historic franchises in the sport. You can put them up there with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dallas Cowboys, San Francisco 49ers, Philadelphia Eagles, New York Giants, like Green Bay Packers, like one of your true blue bloods in football. You are losing your grip. And when I say that is when you go to Allegiant Stadium, which I'm going to in 2 weeks, you are going to see a lot of blue and red against the Giants. So much where I wouldn't be shocked if it's a 50-50 split at that game. These games here at Allegiant Stadium are starting to look a lot more like home away from home games for a lot of these opposing teams. So, Mark Davis, you better do something, because, like I said, this city's going to turn on you real quick before you even know it. So, better get it together. But that is your Week 7 NFL winners and losers. We are coming upon the NBA season that starts tomorrow, which is kind of crazy. I didn't think about it, but I wrote down some notes and I got to thinking, man, this might be one of the only seasons, one of the first times in a long time, anybody that knows me, basketball is my favorite sport. That was my first sport that I played. That was probably my best sport that I was good at. That was probably my best sport that I was good at. I was good at everything else, but basketball was probably my entryway into what I'm doing now. But this might be the first year where I am not really looking forward to the NBA season. And there's a couple of things. One, who the hell asked for this in-season basketball tournament? Like, I still, to this day, I'm just mind-blown that we about to have the Orlando Magic against, I don't know, the Houston Rockets in the in-season tournament. Like I said, they're talking about trying to stop this whole load management, but you're adding two games on for the in-season tournament. So if you're telling that you're already trying to fight this battle of players having load management, by doing that you're going to add two more meaningless games that don't go on don't go to wins and losses, but also the winning team only gets $500,000 per player. Come on, man, that doesn't even make sense. And then you got Joe Dumars, dumbass, out here, I think last week, in an article saying that there's no data that shows that load management has not hurt players. But also in the same article, he says that they want players to play more, or marquee players to play more on these nationally televised games, because the NBA's contracts are coming up in 2024, 2025, so that they need their players to be playing so that they can start shopping around to see what kind of money they can get. That's neither here or there, but that's just one thing where I'm just like, nobody asked for this in-season tournament. It's not going to do nothing. Veterans ain't going to want to play. You're not going to make nobody tune into NBA basketball before Christmas. I'm telling you that right now. You could put them on Tuesdays and Fridays. Tuesdays, cool. Sure, people will watch basketball. But you still got the World Series coming up next week. You still got NBA football coming up. Fridays, whatever, cool. Most people are out doing something Friday nights anyways. But I just don't understand this NBA in-season tournament. I'm not looking forward to it. It doesn't make sense. You also got a gap between, I believe it's almost a week, because the in-season tournament, the semifinals and the finals, are going to be here in Vegas in the span of like a week. So players, and there's not going to be any games being played for like a week. So really, the teams, think about this. If you are a team that has to play this in-season tournament, why would I want to win this in-season tournament when everyone else are going to be having at least a week break? I would punt. I would win whatever games I can, do whatever I got to do not to make the semifinal games, because you get a week off. You're going to get a week off then. You're also going to get a week off in the All-Star game. So really, in incentivize, this in-season tournament ain't really helping nobody outside of the players that got to play. Excuse me. That's why I said, if you're a veteran team like the Lakers, Bucks, Celtics, I am not encouraging, hey y'all, we ain't going to worry about this. We're going to go ahead and punt that away. Give that to the G League. Give that to I don't know, the Rockets against the Magic. And I'm not saying that those two teams in particular are going to have boo-boo seasons. I don't know. I'm just picking two random teams in particular, because I can't see Darvin Ham saying, we want to win the in-season tournament. For what? You don't get anything, any incentives for winning it. You don't get any automatic home court advantage. You don't get nothing pretty much outside of $500,000, which I'm out here seeing cats like Jaden McDaniels sign a contract for 3 years for $130 million today. $500,000 ain't nothing to a lot of these players. That ain't nothing but a hand of poker. So that's one of the season storylines. My next one is Victor Wembanyama, a.k.a. the Big Creme Brulee, the real deal? Because a lot of y'all trying to hype this man up like he that dude. And hey, Chet Holmgren, I'm gonna tell y'all right now, he picked the wrong time to have that messed up foot last year to be coming in at the same time as Big Creme Brulee. I'm gonna be calling Victor Wembanyama the Big Creme Brulee. One, because he's got creme brulee skin complexion, and two, he's French, and creme brulee happens to be one of my favorite desserts of all time. So Big Creme Brulee, Victor Wembanyama. I've seen some of the highlights. He cool. It's preseason. I've seen what he can do. It's pretty interesting. But we got a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Joker, Nikola Jokic. You know, let me see what's the durability? What's the battery life on cats like that? Because I always think about Yao Ming, Ralph Sampson, these tall, thin man dudes who were 7'4", who just, they panned out after, they fried out after about 10 years. They're too big, you know, got feet problems and everything. So is Big Creme Brulee going to be it? Because I hope so. And then also, Chet Holmgren, hey man, you got the entire University of Gonzaga riding on you right now. Anybody knows how I feel about Gonzaga. They are the Notre Dame of football, but they are probably the worst. They have the worst pipeline of NBA players out of all the quote-unquote blue bloods in the NBA right now. Adam Morrison ain't pan out well. Jalen Suggs, he's somewhere down in Orlando, I don't know, doing whatever it is that he's doing. I can't even name you all the other players that have come out. Oh, what was that dude named? Drew Timmy, that won the National Player of the Year, that got the porn 1970s porn stash. I don't even think he made the league. You know, he sat there and was holding on to his college years, trying to do what he can do to get to the league. But hey man, if you ain't good enough to go to, if you got to stay in college for a couple more years to try to get more tape, you ain't good enough to go to the pros. So I don't know where he is, but he's not in the NBA. Chet Holmgren, you got Gonzaga riding. You got the entire backs of Gonzaga riding on you, because if not, you are going to lose all credit. Gonzaga is going to lose all credibility when it comes down to player development, getting players ready for the NBA draft. Because if I got a kid, I'm not sending them there. Ain't no way. There's no way I'm doing it. So we shall see. But I'm interested to see what Creme Brulee is able to do. I'm interested to see what Chet Holmgren is going to be able to do. Then you also got Drew Holiday going to the Bucks. You got, not Drew Holiday going to the Celtics. You got Dame Lillard going to the Bucks. That's how I had it. And this is the team. This is probably the first time I can say I don't know who's going to win the NBA championship, y'all. You got the LA Lakers, who seem to they locked in towards the last part of the month of the season, had a really, really good run all the way up into the Western Conference Finals. You still got the Nuggets, who they got team. You know, they pretty much were able to keep a majority of their players. You still got the Clippers, if they can stay healthy, but the Clippers are kind of like the Clippers. They ain't never won anything, so okay. Until I see it, I don't believe it. You still got the Kings. The Kings are going to be an interesting team because they didn't really do too much as far as adding depth outside of the fact that they now have a playoff experience. So what is Mike Brown going to do with those team with that group? Are they going to be able to take that next step and get to the second round, possibly the conference finals? We shall see. You got the Minnesota Timberwolves, who I believe the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, is due for a breakout year. I think this is year three or year four for him. The bills due on him to actually ball out. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do. You also got Carl Anthony Towns. Man, do you feel like being a dominant player? That's just my question. Do you feel like being that dog? Because you got the dog in you. It's just somebody got to bring it out of you. But I definitely think that Anthony Edwards is going to be the front man and the lead singer as opposed to Carl Anthony Towns at this point. You still got the Golden State Warriors, where if I'm Chris Paul and I've been on this finals ring chasing tour the last few years from between Phoenix, LA, Phoenix, OKC, and now you are here at Golden State, and now it's pretty evident that you're just chasing rings at this point, which is cool. You know, a lot of people do that on their back end of the career. As a diehard Golden State Warrior fan, I'm not too sure this is a stop that you need to be making here on your last hurrah is in the Bay Area for a ring. The Golden State Warriors made a very, very interesting move by trading away Jordan Poole, who we needed to go, and bringing back Chris Paul in return. The thing that got the Warriors exposed last year was lack of depth and lack of size. The Lakers were able to bully the Warriors a lot because Kevon Looney, as much as I love him, he gives max effort. Effort can only get you so far away. Like I said, I think on one of my shows last year, talent supersedes effort all day, any day. You can put in all the effort you want, but if you ain't got the talent to back up that effort, hey man, it is what it is. And as much as I love Kevon Looney, I don't know how much he's going to be able to hold up with Creme Brulee, Chet Holmgren, Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis, Carl Anthony Towns. I just don't know. The people down there in Phoenix, I just don't know how much can they do to start off. Hold up. And then you got to mention Draymond Green's out for the first few games with a sprained ankle. So I'm just saying, if I'm Chris Paul, I just didn't know why both teams were interested in this. Now you're talking about going even smaller with Draymond Green at the five and possibly starting your backcourt with Steph Curry and Chris Paul. That's a very, very small backcourt. And now your small backcourts don't last long in the league. If you look at what CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard weren't able to do, you know, Ja Morant and what's homie's name? Dylan Brooks. Small backcourts just don't pan out well for the long haul. So I question the move. We shall see, but I just don't think that was a good destination for him to go. As far as the Eastern Conference goes, you still got the Bucks, which I get the Dame Lillard move, but also the thing that's going to handicap that, where it's probably going to be even worse, is that I don't think Boston got better by getting Kristaps Porzingis, but it did. By them bringing in Drew Holiday, it does kind of patch up that part, but them letting go of Robert Williams is going to hurt them a lot. Grant Williams going to Dallas is going to be interesting as well. So they're losing depth for starting, but then also you got Jaylen Brown, the first ever $300 million man. Yuck. Hey, man, can you dribble the basketball with your left hand yet? We about to find out, because if you're making $300 million, you better damn sure have been working on your left-hand game. And I didn't watch too much of the Big Three with Ice Cube, but I hope they was forcing you to go left with them players out there. So The Eastern Conference is going to be really, really interesting. You got the New York Knicks, or they look like the Villanova Wildcats with Jalen, with Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and then you got Jalen Brunson. You got them dudes, the three amigos that all went to college together, but we shall see. They had a great year. They went all the way to the second round of the playoffs, but Philly, you know, what the hell going on? James Harden, do you want to play basketball or not? But it don't look like it's going to be here in Philly, but I don't know where he can go. Like, they keep saying he want to go to the Clippers, but him going to the Clippers ain't going to make the Clippers that much better. And then on top of that, if I'm Daryl Morey, I want the best available items in return, because we are probably watching, it's possible, the last year of Joel Embiid in a Philadelphia 76ers uniform if they don't get their act together. They need to get their act together if they want to keep Joel Embiid and blow. And my thing would be is, if this season don't work, which it probably ain't, even with James Harden, it probably won't going to work. You got to start looking about keep making everybody available and keeping everybody's available except for Joel Embiid. Unless Joel Embiid flat out says, I don't want to play here no more. I've been here for 7-8 years and it just ain't working. I'm ready to change the scene. Which at that point, I don't know what else more you can do. I don't. So they got to figure out what they want to do with James Harden. And James Harden, at the end of the day, bro, here's the thing about sports franchise owners. Their only obligation is to make sure your direct deposit hits on time. Outside of that, everything else is free game. Now, you wanted to leave Brooklyn, and I gave you a pass on that because I thought you didn't, you know, you was with that crazy dude that's now in Dallas. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'd want to be around that too. You come to Philly, and I guess Doc Rivers has you playing a different type of game where you think you're still the guy when you are just a guy. And I guess that didn't sit well with you, even though y'all was winning games and whatnot. But for him to say that he wants, that he was owed something from Daryl Morey, the GM of the Sixers, but wasn't, that whatever that promise was not fulfilled. Here's my thing. James Harden, if you standing by that, if that's what you saying happened, stand on 10 toes and keep it a buck and just say what was promised to you. Like, all this talking in code, Daryl Morey's a liar and I'll never work for him again. All this other buffoonery. Bro, just come out and just keep it a buck and just say what you got going on. If you need a fan out Daryl Morey and it is what it is, you're going to get fine. If you really standing by it, stand on 10 toes and keep it a buck and say what really happened. Because you got everybody out here speculating and thinking what could have happened or what may have happened, but nobody really knows what happened. And on top of that, James Harden, did nobody tell your dumbass to sign that second year option on that contract? You chose to do that. You could have walked away and tried to get your money. Oh, wait, you went to Houston and try to run Ime Udoka game talking about, yeah, I can come to Houston, still be that dude. And Udoka was like, nah, bro, you can come here and we gonna change the views on this team by, you know, making our younger dudes the focal points. And you felt some type of way about that, and you got up out of there. So, James Harden, what do you want to do, bro? You're running out of options to go, man. So, I don't know. But those are your things to look out for. Oh, no, also, the Pelicans. Is Zion Williamson done playing with these OnlyFans girls or these girls from the hub? Because if so, and he feels like playing basketball, the Pelicans might be my dark horse team. Because Zion Williamson and the boys were actually leading. At one point, they were leading the Western Conference. They were the top team in the Western Conference with Zion Williamson, and he was actually a legitimate MVP candidate. So if Zion Williamson wants to stop messing with them girls from the hub and OnlyFans, and he's actually willing to play about, I don't know, I'm gonna give him a handicap. If Zion Williamson can play 65 games this year and the rest of the team can stay relatively healthy, the New Orleans Pelicans may go to the Western Conference Finals this year. That's my bold pick. If he can play 65 games and the team can stay relatively healthy, that team could go all the way to, they have Western Conference Finals potential. So with that being said, who are my two teams that I'm thinking about are going to be in NBA Finals? I'm going with the Denver Nuggets against the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'm only going with Denver because I feel like Denver has been the team that has been the most solid. They got the team that has, they pretty much walked, they cakewalked through everybody in the West. And pretty much when they play the Heat in the NBA Finals. So we shall see. But I got the Bucks against the Nuggets in my, those are your finals prediction from your boy. Once again, you've been listening to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms. Wherever you get your podcast from, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also find me on the Xverse, Twitter, X at Sports Business. You can also email the show at sportsbusiness@gmail.com. Before we get up out of here, we got to talk about the dummy of the day, which happened on Saturday. I saw this notification. I was like, wait, what? Huh? Apparently, Michigan State University, they played against Michigan, and they've had a lot of issues going on up there with their coach getting fired not too long ago. And I guess they were at the point where they thought about forfeiting the game against Michigan, their in-state rival, because of the lack of preparedness or something to that nature. But I guess during the game Saturday, because the game was in East Lansing, Michigan, the home field of Michigan State, you know, in between timeouts, they got little trivia games. Apparently, somebody thought it was a good idea at this very moment to have a trivia game that had a picture of Adolf Hitler on there. Now, this is a sports show. I'm pretty sure everyone knows what's going on in the Middle East right now. And however you stand on whatever your views are, I totally respect it. However, what are we doing out here? What are we doing? What are we doing putting up a picture of Adolf Hitler when you got people out here in Israel, Gaza, and on the Gaza Strip out here bombing each other back to the Stone Age, and you got the nerve to put up a picture of Adolf Hitler as a trivia question where there was probably about 50, 60, I don't know how many people attended that game because it wasn't really competitive, but I'm pretty sure it was over 50,000 people. What are we doing? Come on now. Which leads to the person who okayed it. It's not even that. You got to go through, when you're submitting those things, those type of in-games, games and trivia questions and things like that, it goes through an approval process. So you got the person that pitches the idea. You got the person that pitches the idea. They send it to their manager. The manager takes a look at it. Yeah, cool. Then you got the manager who brings it up on another meeting, and they run the rundown and they keep it going. They say, yeah, we like this now. We don't like this, blah, 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 blah. And then they go with it. So they had to go through pretty much at a minimum two different approvals before that stuff went up on the Jumbotron. So it ain't even the person that pitched the idea. Like, yeah, you're an idiot. But also, who are the two to three people that approved it and said, yeah, this is a great idea. We're going to go with it. Come on, man. What are we doing? Let's be a little bit more aware of what's going on in the world. But also, why are we still like Hitler? Come on, man. Do better. But anyways, that is this time for your show. This has been the Sports Business Podcast. Like I said, we do this once a week. We will run it back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Email me, write a friend, write a number. Hey, to the people that be sitting there sending me text messages, I appreciate y'all. That means that y'all listen to the show. I love y'all. Y'all know who y'all are. To people that be hitting me up on social media, I love y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all. But yeah, we do this once a week, and we will do this next week. Other than that, we out of here.